Hello, this is Daryl here, sending love as always. Thank you for tuning in. I just want to say, if you like this interview, you can check our website for companion workbooks, action guides, tools, checklists, templates, and show notes with links for everything mentioned on the call. Just visit bestbusinesscoach.ca. That's best, B-E-S-T, businesscoach.ca. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Daryl Urbanski, and welcome to the Best Business Podcast. My mission is to help create 200 new multimillionaire business owners. How? You'll do better when you know better. In my interviews, you'll hear from self-made millionaires, seven-figure business owners, authors, and world-class experts sharing how they did it so you can too, without experiencing the same obstacles they did. Now, if you like this interview, please share it with a friend you think will benefit. They'll appreciate it, and I will as well. You can also connect with me on social media. Look for Daryl Urbanski, D-A-R-Y-L, Urban Ski, U-R-B-A-N-S-K-I, and add me so we can be friends. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy what I've prepared for you right here, right now. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always, and today we have a very special guest. He's one of the most respected spiritual leaders, life coaches, and life coach trainers in all of Japan. His teachings have transformed the lives of millions of people in the East, and now he is bringing his wisdom to the Western world. I'm talking about my good friend Kaz Izzo. Kaz blends Zen philosophy together with a higher self-awareness, melting them into a powerful business perspectives and personal strategies to fully awaken your mind, heart, and soul. He's also used these very same strategies to build his own multi-million dollar business, generating millions of dollars by changing and improving the lives of millions of people. Today, I've asked him to come here and share with us some of his wisdom, experiences, and lessons learned along his path from when he first started as a young grasshopper to where he is now. Kaz, thank you for joining us, my friend. Genki desu ka?
Genki desu. How are you, Daryl?
Hey, good. Genki da yo. Sugoi genki. It's an honor and it's a pleasure to have you here. Right now, if the people listening in, Kaz is in Japan actually right now, although he does have a house in California. But yeah, how's the weather? How are things in Japan?
It's very cold here, as cold as like a New York area.
Got it. And you're just in southern Tokyo, right? Yokohama?
Right, exactly.
Now,
it's the southern part of Tokyo, right?
Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, this is where I was born and grew up.
Got it. Is that the house that you were born and grew up in?
Yeah, I'm exactly at the house I was born.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that's so awesome. I love that. That's cool. There's so much history in Japan. So, yes, as the people listening, as we talked about, you've come a long way. And obviously now you're very respected and looked up to by a lot of people. But, you know, you didn't just wake up one day and get there. It definitely was a journey, right, of many steps.
Right.
And yes, so definitely. How did you even get started? Like for the people listening, like what even got you into running your own business? Do you come from an entrepreneurial family?
Sure. Yeah, let me say, yes, my dad started his own business when I was in junior high school. So, yeah, I could say that I'm from an entrepreneur family, even though my career started at Sony. So I was in the sales and marketing division. And after working for Sony Japan for 5 years, they assigned me or transferred me to Sony America. And I was in the product development or product marketing team and everything. But the last job that I had was the director for e-commerce at SonyStyle.com. I was the one of the founding members of the project. And the team of just four people grew from four to a group of 100 in 6 month period when the company decided to make the big investment. So it was a great experience that I had. And the last thing that I did was to increase the sales of over 800 audiovisual products, 700% in 6 month period.
Whoa, that's quite the feather in your cap. That's got it. So you're no stranger to the sales and marketing game, I guess.
Right. So it was so much fun.
Now, has there been a lot of I know the answer is probably obvious, but has there been a lot of, because that's very corporate and you come from a corporate world and a lot of people associate, you know, corporate marketing that wouldn't help a small business owner or even
that
a medium-sized business.
That is so true.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I started my business, and then since I was, I had a seven samurai working for me. They knew how to do everything. So I was spoiled. You know, when I want the domain taken on anything, I just, you know, I knew who to talk to, but I didn't know how to do that. So the first thing that I had to struggle is, okay, where do I go for this stuff and that stuff?
Right.
So I almost felt helpless in my first year.
Wow.
And I realized how little I knew. So there was a lot of struggle. First year, very tough. And what's interesting is that I started out selling a dietary supplement in my first year.
Really?
And sold a lot of them. Then after 1 year, you know, the relation with the manufacturer didn't go well. The company itself was known for multi-level marketing. But what I did was focus on resale on the web, did a campaign to reach millions of people by email marketing and say, you can get the stuff with discount without being a distributor, and we will give you free shipping, you know, kind of approach. And they didn't like that, and they showed that, and they started to suspend me. So I was starting to sell about $47,000 in 12-month period.
Wow.
I mean, that was the monthly sales that I reached after 12 months. And then they started to shut me down and everything. Then I started to think, you know, what do I do? I feel like the door was closing on me.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is when a door is closing, there's always a door opening. And in my case, it was just one phone call from my accountant. He called me and said, you are the only client that is making a lot of sales online. And he has other client who just started business online, and it's not going very well. So he asked if I could speak to him. And I said, sure, why not? I spoke to the guy. And the guy was a human resource company executive. And he started the company probably doing something similar to Monster.com. And to make long story short, he was getting ripped off. He paid over $20,000 initial investment. He was paying over $7,000 to $8,000 every day to this marketing agency. And when I heard, you know, what was going on, I felt he was getting ripped off. So I told him, no, there's a better way. Here's what you can do, ABC. Then he liked it and he appreciated it. And then I realized, oh, you know, all the stuff that I took for granted, all the stuff that my team back in Sony know, may be something that not a lot of people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought of doing a consulting business.
Mm.
I initially thought of doing the consulting business in US, since that's the market I was familiar with at the time.
Right.
Then, when I did the research, I realized the entrepreneur wave was hot in Japan at the time.
Mm.
When something gets hot in Japan, it gets hot.
Yeah.
Japan, you know, it's a small country. And so I realized, oh, this is a good opportunity. Then I also realized it's a good opportunity for me to go to Japan and enjoy authentic sushi and noodle and on business.
Right.
And also get to see family and everything. So I thought, okay, this may be a good chance for me to jump into the market. Then all the struggle that I had in my first year, you know, taking the domains or, you know, finding and how to be on top of the search engine kind of thing, that really helped when I started my consulting business in Japan. Because the first thing that I did was start selling the PDF. And the title of that is, here is everything you need to know to make money online. And I created 240 pages of document about, you know, how to, you know, run the business online.
Right.
Sold that for $240 at the time. Was able to make $100,000 in first 6 months. So it was a good start.
Wow. Yeah. Most people would say, especially compared to the struggle of the year before, right?
Right. Exactly. And another benefit was I was completely independent because I was not selling somebody else's product.
Mm.
And it's the PDF doesn't cost me anything except the time that I spend.
Mm-hmm.
So the gross margin over 95%, that was a good deal.
Yeah. And your accountant now must have been calling you, be like, what are you selling? Is this a legal business? Because he never sees margins like that anywhere.
Right. So true. So that, you know, information products was really good in terms of not having have to buy anything from anybody, and the gross margin is so high, and you can start, you know, creating new one anytime. So then I started to go to Japan to do a seminar, business seminar. So I make money that way, and then make the DVD out of that, and come back to US and then sell them online. So it was a good business that was starting in Japan, and I quickly built a list of 20,000 people doing the internet marketing consultant business. The position that I had was I was able to make money in the corporate environment and small business environment, and in US and in Japan. And you know, US is the top runner in terms of right. internet marketing.
Right.
And I was able to tell them, I live in US. I know what's going on in US, and I'm going to share with you everything that I know in Japanese. So you don't have to fly to US to go to some seminars or workshop, but you can just hear, go to my seminar in Tokyo and hear everything you need to know in 3 hours kind of thing.
Which is huge, especially because there's a lot of, like Japanese people are very, very shy, first of all. And also just the fact that you're taking the translation out of it for them, that opens you up to a whole new market. And even people that maybe would be conservative, because, you know, I lived in Japan for 3 years, and I, you know, a part of that, a lot of that, I was teaching English. And so that's a huge thing for a lot of people. But comprehension, like most people still don't speak English well enough to go to a seminar. Like right? Like they don't, they wouldn't be able to go and listen and understand all the different kinds. So that was a huge value add for you, for sure.
Right. Yeah. They don't have to pay for the airfare and everything either. So
Right.
Save them a lot of time and money.
And Tokyo. I mean, Tokyo is just a quick ride on the Shinkansen, and then
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Yeah. Very smart.
It worked out very good.
Very smart.
Something interesting happened. I was doing a personal session too, personal consulting, phone or Skype session, and there are two different clients. They had similar level of experiences. They both had a $2,000 of sales online at the time. And they asked for my consulting, so I took them on. And then one guy who was running a flower shop, and he started this you know, flower online store. He was making $2,000 at the time. And then I was also doing web development. Also, I had I was teaming up with a designer. So changed their website entirely, and in the first year, his sales has grown to $10,000 per month. And then over the course of 4 or 5 years, his sales has grown to $70,000 to $80,000 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, so I felt really good. And then in the meantime, the other guy who was at the same level, $2,000 a month, he was selling information products as to how to not to be nervous in front of people kind of thing. Anyway, his sales remained flat. The same period, 4 or 5 year period. And the reason is sometimes he had some fear factor. He tries something when it doesn't work, and then he froze him. And what I realized is, you know, first, I didn't know what was happening because I was sharing everything.
Right, you know, he's getting all the secrets.
Exactly. And then one guy, you know, sales just skyrocketed, and the other guy, nothing happened. And what I realized is it's not necessarily the know-how alone that makes a difference. It's also the mindset. So if you use the analogy of a computer, you know, it's application runs well when the operating system is solid. I have a horrible memory with the Windows 98 that kept crashing and crashing. And every time I download a new application, it got slower and slower. It was a horrible experience that I had. And then I figure maybe something similar is happening to people too. When people do not have the right mindset, and then all that know-how comes into your right ear and goes out of your left ears. So then I started to be interested in the life coaching so that I can address both know-how and the mindset.
and then start having a real impact on people, because you started trying to, I guess, focus on the deeper problems. You were teaching people the strategies and the tools and the techniques, but getting unequal results. And you realized that for a few to help everyone, you had to start at the foundation and build them up from there. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah, that's so true. And then something interesting happened.
What happened?
Yeah, well, you know, I was really interested in the mind aspect of people. At the same time, I was also starting to be interested in the spiritual stuff, partly because my first year, my first experience with Zen goes back to high school. And whenever it was a fasting and Zen retreat, I had stiff shoulders, and I had, you know, in Japan, we have the very strict school system. So to get into a college is very hard. And everybody studies over 10, you know, 12 hours every day when you're a senior in high school to just to get into a college. And it's just one big exam makes a difference. And I was studying, but I couldn't, you know, sit in the desk for a long time, partly because of, you know, stiff shoulders. So I decided to see an acupuncturist, and he suggested, okay, it's not just about shoulders. You need a whole body transformation. So I decided to sign up to this Zen and fasting retreat. The deal was to drink a gallon of water every day and not to eat anything at all. But along with that came the Zen meditation every single day. And when we rested our mind, then your mind is inactive. Then I even felt clearer. I felt very clear consciousness of myself when I was doing Zen. And then during the test, some miracle happened. I was decided to daydream during the test. Then when I woke up, I only had 15 minutes left, when I still had half hour material left. But I was able to finish that. I was able to get the focus back, and I felt like that was all because of the Zen practice that I had. So since then, whenever I have a life-changing situation, I developed the habit of going inside to find an answer. So that's how I got into the, you know, spiritual stuff, mind stuff. So I was really started to be interested in the mind aspect and spiritual aspect of people. However, every time I talked about the spiritual stuff in my newsletter, some people complained and some people unsubscribed and said, I signed up to your newsletter to listen to the Yahoo and Google and internet marketing stuff, how to increase the sales. I'm not interested in the spiritual bullshit.
Right.
So that was hurting because, you know, this 20,000 people is the biggest asset that I had. I was making all that revenue out of the list. And if I send something that make people unsubscribe, and what's the purpose? At the same time, you know, people say that you need to listen to your heart to decide which way to go, because
your intuition, can pull from more resources. You actually never know all the contributing factors. It's actually impossible for your brain to compute all the factors that could apply to every situation.
Exactly. So I knew that theory. At the same time, you know, I had this fear factor. You know, if I go into the spiritual stuff, and then I may lose all the subscribers and, you know, existing customers. So I was kind of struggling for as long as 2 years, going back and forth. Should I switch or should I not? In the meantime, since I was kind of losing passion for this internet marketing stuff at the time, and I started introducing new products. So sales was starting to go down, and I spent a lot of time, you know, going inside or reading a lot of spiritual books. And I was very excited to be, you know, going after a lot of spiritual stuff. And then I don't know if it's good to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it anyway, and then you can delete this later if that's appropriate.
Sure. That's fine.
One day I had a spiritual experience.
Okay.
What happened was I went to bed and somebody touched me. It's not somebody in this world, but it's some energy. And I never had experiences like that, so I didn't know how to react. But anyway, when I woke up, when I opened up my eyes, and I feel something, and then that something, or the energy, enter my body. And that stuff kind of moved my body to end. I'm not going to go into further details, but to make long story short, that experience kind of woke me up. I felt like that was the nudge from the universe to just make a damn decision. So that's what I did. I know that on my soul level, what I am interested is the spiritual stuff, you know, people's mindset stuff, instead of just the know-how. I like the know-how, but knowing, like I said, know-how really works when the mindset is solid. So I wanted to talk about the whole aspect of people and decided to make the switch. And I didn't know how to do that, even though I made that decision to go in the path. And then a week or two later, when I was taking a morning walk, I received an inspiration. I received a keyword that says life optimization consulting. And at that moment, I kind of knew, I can create a business out of that. And next 3 to 5 days, I probably wrote 50 pages of document to go into the homepage and made the complete change to the homepage to go from internet marketing consultant to be a spiritual life coach. Made a big change. And I was thinking, okay, probably I'm going to lose all the 20,000 subscribers. And wait, what do I do? But what I found interesting is something unexpected happened. The list grew from 20,000 people to 40,000 people in first 18-month period. Wow. And the sales quadrupled.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I found that so interesting. You know, you say that if you go for something you have passion for, and things will just go well. And I heard the story over and over, and I was teaching that to my clients too. But, you know, I had this fear factor and everything, but when I switched, it was true. You know, exactly happened the way people say it was going to happen.
Which is powerful. And then it leads you to do more fulfilling work, and you do better quality because it's something that you love, and it's just so much more fulfilling on every different level.
Right. So I was surprised when I had the first spiritual workshop and 100 people showed up for this, you know, $300 seminar, and then people loved hearing what I was sharing. And what I found was the even though spiritual things was something not new, but what I found was that since I had the Zen experience, and I always had the habit of going inside and always found a way to receive inspiration. And I think I was doing that at the workshop too. When people ask a question, I quiet my mind. Something always pop up in my mind. I simply say that, and people loved it. So, it seems like this is my path. And I kind of felt that on the deep part of my mind. So I really like that, you know, transformation experience. And I also really like that new path.
I'm taking notes, sorry, because you've dropped some great gems on the audience here. Just talking about the experience, so you know, not there's many paths to get to the same destination,
right?
But you struggled for your. What I love is some of the time spans, because you're not like, I thought about it for a week or 2 weeks or 2 months, and you're like, I thought about it for 2 years,
right,
before I made a decision. So I just love how at the beginning you started, you were working with someone else, you developed skill set, you left, but the skills you learned there did not apply at all, and you had to start at ground zero again. So now you're new, but you dove in, you were committed to it, you hung with it for a year, you struggled, got through. Now, when you first started, you were an affiliate marketer, which is great because it helped you develop your sales and marketing skills without having to worry about the product or product fulfillment. But then you figured, obviously, you got burned, and then you, it's like, I just love the story because of how it evolves. So then now you develop your own product and you do the same thing. And now you're doing just like you did before, because the skill set is transferable, right? But now with more control of the product. And the other part that I really loved is that you did your market research first. And I love that, because you're like, I did my research and then I made a decision about my business. Then you're like, I should go this direction. And it just worked out that it took you back home so you'd be with your family and friends, and actually made you way more valuable. Because honestly, as an internet marketing consultant, you know, how could you compare? Like, you could do that in the States, but you're just another person. Very competitive market.
Yes.
But you found a niche. You found a niche within a niche, and that blew up. And then you went even deeper. And there's a saying, and forgive me if I offend anyone, but there are riches in niches, bitches, is the way the saying goes. And so I loved it because you had a niche. You did research, which is amazing. Not enough people do that, myself included. Did the research. You went in that destination. You went and found success. Then you niched again. And your list doubled and your sales quadrupled.
Right.
I love that. And the whole time you were doing something you were passionate about, you were focused on how do I help people more? How do I help them better?
Right.
How do I really help them on like a life, like in a, even, right? Like, great. I mean, you help someone make an extra few thousand a month. I mean, you know, it can be life changing, but some people, like, it's a whole concept. Some people win the lottery and then they're broke and miserable, right? They're broke and miserable. They win the lottery. Right. They're still broke and miserable. It doesn't fix the problem. And a lot of people, they want money, but, you know, money just, it's like an accelerator, right? It doesn't make anything better. It just makes it bigger. So if you're if you're a jerk and you get a bunch of money, you're going to be a jerk with a bunch of money. Like, that's
right? True.
You're going to be a bigger jerk. Like, that's really what it is. So, I just love your story because it's just really sincere. You shared failures. You shared parts that, you know, you shared your growth progress that you learned from other people that you didn't know what you're doing, that you tried anyway. And the dedication. I love that. I love that. So what were for you, do you feel, some of the biggest challenges? Like, looking back, do you feel that you had milestones that you overcome? Like, oh, first I figured out, like I kind of alluded to maybe one. It's like I figured out how to do the marketing. And then I figured this out. Are there milestones that you see for yourself? Like, it's almost like an awakening path?
Yeah, sure. There are a lot of them. But let's see, when I was in the corporate world, and when I failed, all I had to do was do the quick presentation and explain why I failed.
Right.
But in the small business, when I failed, and then it hit my bank account directly. So that changed the emotional reaction dramatically. And I didn't handle that very well in the first several months. And one of the biggest challenges that I had was the since I was in the dietary supplement, it's a repeat business. So when you have a lot of repeating customers, it's a good business. So what I tried was to try to build as many repeating customer base as possible. So I was making a lot of investment. And a lot of times, I was paying over 5 digits every month for the advertisement just to acquire new customers.
Wow.
So after a year, you know, sales, like I mentioned, went up to 47,000 month per month. And then the I had a, I think it was 2,500 to 3,000 customer base, I think, at the time, something like that. Then I had to throw that all away because of, you know, this relation with the supplier.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I had, you know, some debt too. So I was like in financial crisis, and then I have to find something new very quickly.
Mm.
And the way it happened was that one phone call from the consultant, and my mindset at the time was I was busy with myself. How do I have time to help other people? You know,
right.
Right, because, you know, I really have to find something new. But what's interesting is when I helped the man who was getting ripped off, and I was helping myself. That composition helped realize what I had. So through the process, what I realized is when there is a door closing, you know, we are not here to be abandoned by God, if I use that expression. When a door closes, it's always, I think, a nudge from the universe to try a new path. Because let's say if I had stayed in that dietary supplement business, I'm not too sure if I'll be happy. I'll be as happy as I am today. I'm really happy with what I'm doing now. And I'm so happy that I was guided to where I am now. And the way it happened was when the door closed, when the things were tough. But one thing that I did was kept my mind and eyes open. It always happened that way. And when I knew that maybe that's how the life works, that's how things happen to a lot of people, a lot of my clients.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it, because sometimes we think we know, but again, like we talked about, there are so many factors at play. I mean, even just in people have their entire life planned, but they're not considering like global resources, global warming, what nations are doing. Is there going to be a war where you are? Like at any given time, there are so many things going on. Alan Watts said this, and I love it best. He said, "You live in the place you call here and now, and your life is like... your life to the universe is like what a wave is to the ocean, you know, and it's all happening at the same time, right. You know, so there are millions of waves in the ocean at any given time. And same thing, like your life, you know, it's just this cascade. I don't want to go on too much of a tangent, but there's so many people making so many decisions at any time that all interrelate, and the weather and outer space and governments, and who knows? So I fully get it. You just have to trust it. We, you know, we never value or appreciate or even know the time that you were crossing the street and you went left instead of right. And if you went right, you would have been hit by a bus, you know?
Right.
So I fully get it. When doors close, people want to cry and bellyache, but, right. You know, it's just...
things do not turn around when you are in the victim mindset.
Yes. And you got to pull yourself out of that. So
yeah, and that state management is a big part of running a small business.
Yes, because
when you are frustrated. When you are in a good state, in Japanese, we call that genki. And so, when you are genki, you can do anything.
That's right. Genki da yo, sugoi, yes.
Yeah, genki. It's very important to be genki. You know, to be genki comes first. Before anything else, because that's one reason I spend at least 2-3 hours every morning to optimize my mind and body. That's how I start my day. That's my routine. And I do that partly because I know the power of inspiration. You probably know one inspiration can change the whole aspect of mind, life, and business.
Yes.
And that's since I believe in that, I like to be in the optimum state every single day. To do that, I just spend the first few hours of the day doing the yoga and stretches and walking and Zen meditation and the affirmation in the shower. I have all this routine, and I do that every single day as a commitment to myself. I saw a movie, I think it was the Conversation with God, you know, by Neil Donald Walsh. And the, in the movie, he said, "I don't want to just make a living. I want to live a life."
So
living versus the, you know, living a conscious life. I think I like to live a conscious life.
I agree. Yeah. That's so well said. And you're dropping, for the people listening, I hope you have pens and paper out. And just think about this story, because that's already a huge key. Bookending your day, having a routine in the morning and a routine at night is so critical. I like you. I have a morning routine, and it's a totally different scenario. If I do not wake up and I do not respect my usual routine, my day is lost. Like I'm not, like you said, I'm not in my optimal state of mind. I'm not in the motions. I didn't wake up. I'm just like you. Wake up, exercise, meditate, some affirmations, planning my day, the exact same thing.
We live a similar life. Yeah. I think that's how we attract each other.
Right. Well, exactly. So like minds attract. So
yes,
I fully agree. So now, I know for some people here listening, we've talked about your story. There's been lessons that have been dropped out. What are some of these transferable skills that have helped you grow your business and are helping some of these other people grow theirs? Or like, what do you think are some of the fundamentals that have helped you be successful with each of these businesses?
Let's see. I think the power of pivot. You know, the basketball?
No. Well, I know a basketball, but no.
Yeah, pivoting. Pivoting is, you know, just a... change your direction, change your focus.
Pivoting, yes.
Pivoting. I think, you know, that's what I did when the door was closing, pivoting. And that's what I did when I stayed in Sony for a total of, I think, 12 years. And when I increased the sales 700%, the company still wanted me to go back to Japan because I stayed in America long enough and everything. But I didn't want to, so I had to think, you know, what do I do now? And then pivoting. You know, I was kind of trying to stick with Sony environment, corporate environment. But then, you know, when I felt like things are not for me. Things were kind of against me. Then, okay, this is not the lane I should stay. I should probably change the lane. And so I did another pivoting. And you sense that wind is, you know, blowing to a different direction. Mm-hmm. Definitely do not resist, but instead surrendering will take you to a better place. And I do kind of believe that there is kind of like a life blueprint. There's stuff that you're supposed to learn. You know, there's a path you're going to shine. And all you need to do is stay open. All you need to do is create space in your mind at least once a day so that you are sure which direction you like to go tomorrow. And if you have a good day today, you'll have a good day tomorrow. And if you have a good day, then you have a good week.
Mm-hmm. If you have a good week, you have a good month, you have a good month, you have a good year.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Small hinges swing big doors.
That's so true. You said it right.
So now, not only have you been successful, but you've coached a lot of other people to success. In fact, you just certified 200 life coaches. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So when people get into the life coaching business, what do you see some of the mistakes people making when they try to be successful as a life coach? What are some of the things that people seem to get, you know, that they just don't understand, or, you know, they focus too much on this, not enough on that?
I see. Sure. That's a very good question. What I see in some of the coaches, especially in early stage of the business, is everybody does coaching for profession, and they do that to make money, right? Mm-hmm. And then some people do the life coaching to make money, to also empower them. But instead, the life coaching is the business to empower other people. So when you empower your clients, every time, without fail, they will come back and their reputation spreads. And business is about giving something and returning money in return. And in the spiritual world, it's about giving energy, and that the amount and quality of energy that you send out is the what you receive. So when you focus on the quality of your advice, quality of the energy that you spread, and even for you to be happy and genki makes a difference in clients' energy. And sometimes clients come back to you just because they feel good talking to you. And there are some, you know, coaches, whether conscious or not, do the coaching to empower themselves, to feel good about themselves, not about clients, but instead themselves. And sometimes ego drives that consulting. I am the big, you know, consultant, blah, blah, blah.
It's about me and how great I am and what I have to share with the world.
Yeah. Exactly. But people sense that. So it's really good to focus on how to make their life better. When you are sincere, people feel it. And when people get the good mental state, when you feel good about themselves, when they are empowered and they know where to go back.
So if someone's listening to this call and they go, Kaz, I've got good intent, I really do give my clients everything I can, but I'm just started out and I'm struggling.
Right.
What would you suggest?
Sure. That's where I think know-how plays makes a difference. Even though know-how alone cannot, you know, produce the result, like we mentioned, you need a mindset and everything. At the same time, if you have a right mindset, and if you don't have any know-how at all, then you might not gear, you might not go where you like to go. So there are tons of information out there, some of them free, some of them on fee-based, but you know, if you Google, you can't find anything. So my suggestion is, if you think what you are missing is the know-how, get the know-how, get help, talk to somebody who knows. And one way to also find out what you are missing is talk to a life coach like me, so that you know what's missing. But I'm just kidding. It could be anybody. As long as that person knows you inside out and to be able to tell you what you are missing, whether it's a know-how or the mindset or the combination of the both. So to know what you are missing is a great start.
Right.
That's how you look like you can figure out what help to get. You can get any help in the world.
You know, I think that's what Einstein said once upon a time. He said, sometimes clearly defining a problem is half the battle to the solution.
That's so true.
And so just what you said, someone who knows you, who can have an outside perspective and see what you need. What kind of know-how do you need to be successful as a life coach? How do you to run a successful life coaching business?
Sure. Let's say, you know, it's the same basic business principles applies. You need to be able to find a way to find your prospect. And to do that, you like to know your target customer. And to know your target customer, and that you might want to know yourself so that you know who are the kind of people you like to help and how happy you will be when you, you know, help a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. Some people are happy when they help young children. Mm-hmm. Some people are happy when they help elderly people. And some people are happy helping business executives. So to know what you are happy with is always a great start. And then in terms of the know-how, you need to know how to, let's say, if you have a website, you like to know how to generate the traffic into your website. And when you have a good website, and then it's good to know how to have a good conversion page. So traffic generation and conversion, and then business continues well when you have repeating customers. So if you find a way to keep the customers coming back to you, that's always a great way. So if you have those principles in your applied in your business, it's always a good place to start.
You know, that's a really important thing, turning one-off sales into repeat sales. That was another note that I made, that you invested in a recurring business when you got into the dietary supplement business. I heard you say that you were investing. You were going negative on the front end because it was a recurring model, if I heard correctly, because you knew that there were going to be repeat purchases, and you were investing heavily in that. And that's a powerful thing, because if you have to go and hunt something new today, you have to hunt every single day. But if you can set something up on recurring payments, you know, or stretch it out for a time and let me sell you something that spans across a period of time, now it's not as intense, right? You can breathe a little bit. So
that's a
really key fundamental, finding a way. You can maybe sell a one-off item, but have it lead everyone to recurring repeat sales. That's powerful. That's really, really powerful.
Yeah, because what's most expensive is the acquisition cost.
Right. Yes. Most people have no idea how much it costs, and they'd be flabbergasted how much it costs to acquire a customer in their business. For most businesses, I'm going to say it's anywhere from $50 to $500 to get one customer at least.
Right.
You know, and if you're trying to make your money selling a $37 ebook, you know, those days are over.
Yeah, I hear you.
Look at you. You're like, I feel that pain. So, question for you. A couple of things that just out of personal interest.
Sure.
You said that you would go to Japan and you would do your seminars, and you would record the seminars, and you would make a product out of that. Now, that's old hat. But then you would come back to the States, and then you would sell them in Japan kind of online. I wanted to know, how did you sell them? Was it with a webinar or a video sales letter or how? Like, what was your method of selling those?
Sure. And I do a variety of things. But the since I have the right now 60,000 people subs, that helps. So make the announcement to my newsletter.
Yep.
So to build a list really makes a difference. When you build a list, you can live anywhere in the world. And all you have to do is when you have a new product, make an announcement. When you have a new event, make an announcement.
Right, the money is in the list. Fair enough.
Exactly. Another thing you can always do is the create a sub list. So my official newsletter, I talk about a lot of general stuff. And then one day I say, okay, if you are into, if you like to be a spiritual life coach, and then sign up to this newsletter, and then I'll show you free video. And so when people sign up, they are all interested in being a spiritual life coach. You know, they want to be a spiritual business. Mm-hmm. So then we can focus more on that topic, and they get hotter and hotter. And sometimes they are ready to, like last spring, we did a big launch for these, you know, 200 people to sign up to this $10,000 program, 1 year program. So it was a big promotion that generated a little over $2 million in 2 weeks. And something like that happened when you do the sublisting properly.
Yep. Yeah, that's very powerful. So let's just quickly recap for some people here some of the fundamentals that you've mentioned. Because not only have you given, again, there's a lot of depth to this. I really think people might want to listen to this interview a few times to get all of it. And I say that sincerely because you've talked about your journey. You've talked about your path to just kind of your coming into yourself and your purpose and your reason for being here. You talked about the different evolutions you went through from working from someone else to coming to where you are now. And you've talked about some really key fundamental things. So one is you started with doing the market research. I already mentioned this. The next part was that you followed those and you found the market first and then developed a product for them. Then you naturally evolved into, you didn't just decide you were going to do live events. You started with an ebook, a PDF, something small, simple. You sold it. You started making sales. You built a buyer's list and then you nurtured that list and that evolved into doing a live event. So you already just said the money's in the list and that right there proved it. You started building a list, selling something, you know, $240 necessarily isn't cheap, but at that time, there was probably nothing like nothing on internet marketing in Japan at the time, I imagine. Yeah, you had just open reign. It was like a new predator with no, like, you know, like a new carnivore without any predators in a country full of herbivores, like just free reign. And so for you, you built the list, you had that out there, you evolved, stepped people up to a live event, and then you evolved into coaching them on that. And I imagine some group training programs and even mastermind programs. And out of that, you evolved. Then you sub-niched it down. You already mentioned that there is sub-lists. So you've always list building. You found a way that you could differentiate yourself. You built a list. You sold them small products. Then based on what you heard from them, you sold the next product and the next product, building a tier that people would climb up to. And a whole time building your list, building your following, nurturing people, coming from a place of really wanting to take care of them. And now, like you said just now, you're like, well, really, the list, I've got 60,000 followers, so that really helps. And so, like, because you've got this amazing relationship with these people where you're giving them amazing content, you're coming from an authentic place trying to help them. And even just in this conversation, like, talk to me or talk to someone else, right? Like, I think those are just some really, really key fundamentals, especially we mentioned a recurring business. You talked about selling a 1 year long program. It wasn't, hey, get this and you know, we'll be done for a minute. So I almost also see the evolution in how you do your business, right? Like at the beginning, you're selling the one-off PDF and that worked really well. But I imagine at some point, you know, that just ran out, right? And that's almost what forced you to do the next thing.
Right.
And then evolve from that. So we've got market research first, start with a low front end product, build a list with that, do something ideally, I guess, where you can get to know them better, or for you it was a live event. So you created a community, because when you're selling the PDF, there's not really a community in that, right?
Right.
Now you've got the live event. You have an actual community, faces, names, the faces, hands that have been shaken, right?
Right, exactly.
Tea that's been drank together. Then you evolved into that, into now we talked about repeat sales or recurring business sales and growing and nurturing it and just evolving it. And I just love that. So did I miss anything that you would consider as a fundamental from that?
No. You just caught me great. Wow. I like the recap.
But you just gave away the goods. That's why when I tell people in these interviews, if I'm like, you need to re-listen to that. If you didn't catch it, go back and listen to it, especially if it's in a story format, because it will help you remember. We learn through metaphors and similes and analogies and stories. So it's a really, I could tell you the fact, and some people, facts work really well, but stories work for everybody. And that's even why that's I so asked, true. How did you get started? Because, you know, unknowingly, I'm getting secrets from you, from my listeners, that you don't even know because you're just telling your story, right? But there's real power in that. So you've come a long way, and obviously that's why you've been able to help millions of people.
No, thank you. You know, one thing I like to add about what you said about, you know, listening to this a few times is the, remember that two different people that I coached? And the guy who increased the sales from 2,000 to, 70 to 80,000, he recorded my personal session and listened to that while he was delivering flowers to his clients. So he listened to that session over and over until he got it. And the other listened to that and then didn't do much about it. So I also agree that listening to, you know, something a few times, it really makes a difference. Yes. And another reason is that people don't, not everybody does that, partly because people like stimulation. Mm-hmm. When they hear something new, it's a good stimulation. But when you listen to that over and over, sometimes it is painful. Sometimes it takes patience. And to also make sure that you have that concept built into your system, it takes some, you know, discipline. And people like stimulation than those disciplines. Mm-hmm. That's why, even, you know, I'm sure that the even though, you know, you listen to Daryl, you know, today, but not everybody will probably listen to this, you know, a few times. Only a handful of people do that. But those people who decide to, you know, listen to this or listen to other audio a few times every time will definitely get ahead of other people.
That's right. That's so well said. And I love it. And you reminded me of my favorite quote about mastery, if you want to master a skill or something. And the quote is, do it until it becomes dull, and then keep doing it until it's beautiful again.
Oh, I like that.
And that's a great quote because it's so true. You know, the grind. What is it? Thomas Edison said, success is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration, sweating.
So true.
Right?
So
and
true.
So that's just, and that's the grind. That's the unglamorous grind of enjoying the journey and knowing your destination. And like you said, coming from a place where you know in your heart you won't have regrets because you're following your life's purpose and your passions, and you've got the right mindset, and you really want to make a difference in the world and help people. I mean, even if you fail, how could you regret that, right? So I just think that's such a great lesson. This has just been a super wonderful call.
Great. Thank you for saying that.
I feel like, is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you about?
No, you asked a lot of good questions. Then one thing that I would add to this is the in this country, so many people are mind busy. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of Zen or meditation, whichever term you use, is the when you rest your mind and when you receive inspiration, one inspiration can change so many aspects of your mind. Mm-hmm. And you may have heard this before, but a lot of people still choose to keep their mind busy instead of doing this, you know, Zen or, you know, resting your mind. But once you master how to control your mind, emotion, you know, a mental state, and then you can really achieve a lot of things. And one reason doing Zen or emptying your mind is difficult is because you have been trained to keep your mind busy throughout school days and throughout your career. Mm-hmm. But everybody has ability to let go of thoughts, empty their mind, and receive inspiration. It's a matter of you use that skill to develop that. And I like to say that everyone is born with this ability. You just have to sharpen that a little bit. And just by investing 5 to 10 minutes every day to either, you know, develop your intuition or rest your mind and to receive that direction for your life. I call that, you know, life GPS. When you activate your life navigation inside of you, you know, it's great to know which path you will shine most.
Very well
said. So that's what I will add to this.
Yeah, that's so well said. And it's just a few just simple practices, simple disciplines, practice a few times a day, compounded over time, right? Every day develops into a strong week, develops into a strong month, strong quarter, strong half year, strong century, strong life. Very well said.
Right.
So, Kaz, if people here listening to this have really resonated with this message, they know who you are, they like what you're about, they want to get in touch with you, they want to learn more, what is a good way for them to get in touch with you?
Sure. Right now, I'm bringing my business to U.S. So if you go to kaziso.com, and then you can get your free Zen kit if you like. And I received multiple messages from the universe, I will say, to bring my business to U.S. I'm bringing my business to U.S. This year. So if you are interested to learn more about how to get the most out of your life, or, you know, reset your mind to get the inspiration that you need, or to connect with your inner self, I think Zen is a great way. And then I think one of my strengths might be to have the balance between left brain and right brain, mind and feeling. So I have being in the real business world. At the same time, I have been doing Zen for 30 years now. So I think they both work very well. Zen is not a method to escape the reality, but instead, Zen is a way to get the most out of your life, living a conscious life to get the most out of yourself. So if you are interested in that topic, you know, this Zen might be the path for you.
That's so well said. So the website is kazizo.com.
That's true.
Kazizo.com. You can also probably look him up on social media. You'll probably find him on every outlet. He's a great guy. Highly recommend it. If you have any interest in Zen, I fully endorse everything Kaz has to share with you. And it's just an honor and a pleasure to have had you here on the show. I know the listeners will benefit immensely, and I really do hope those in need listen to this interview a few times as well. Just thank you so much. I really hope I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Japan before you come back, and I wish you and your father and the rest of your family just a wonderful, wonderful rest of the year. And just thank you again for your time. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Daryl. I really enjoyed this time. You know, I'm a good friend, and also really enjoyed this business and life conversation with you. Let's do this very often.
It's a plan. All right.
Yes.
You've reached the end of our interview. Now, first, let me thank you for listening. I appreciate and respect you more than you'll ever know. And now I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. First, what three lessons did you just learn? What three aha moments just jumped out at you? Second, what can you implement for yourself and your business in the next 24 hours? Third, what can you give to someone else to help you with, or give them to just do it for you? Whatever it is, remember, taking action is the secret sauce to results. Now, if you think this interview would be helpful for a friend, please give them a link to it. It'll help them and it'll help me too. I'd also like to invite you to help me find out more about the challenges you're facing, your dreams, your goals, and how I can help you overcome what's holding you back. We both do better when we know better, and your success is my success. So please reach out and interact. You can visit our website, bestbusinesscoach.ca for Canada or California, where I'm from and where I'm living. You're welcome to also try out one of our paid programs. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and pretty much every other social media channel you can think of. You should also subscribe to the podcast. And if you're enjoying them, please leave us a nice review. It really helps. That's all for now. Once again, thank you. Take care of yourself, and remember, the world needs the best business you can build. And I believe in you.